As I've mentioned before, all the Christian life is about learning to form our desires. But the season of Advent is an emphasis in learning how to desire. Because yes, we need to learn to yearn. We need to learn to desire. And as we grow closer, as we get closer to Christmas, the figures of John the Baptist and others take a step back, and another figure comes forth, the figure of Mary. The readings are specially curated to prepare us to receive the object of our desire, Christ incarnate. And Mary is the one who will usher us into this great mystery. And we reflect on her obedience to the will of God. I think in our times, especially, we struggle with obedience for one particular reason. You and I, as I've said before, have been spoon-fed a lie for the last 50 years. We see it in the media. We see it on commercials. We see it especially in commencement speeches in high school and colleges. And it's a very simple idea. Your life is all about you. Think about the last commencement speech you heard. Your life is all about you. And you have to find your passion. And you have to find your career path. And you have to find the right person as a partner. And you have to build wealth. Your life is all about you. Have the right kids. If part of us resonates with this truth, it's because we are sons and daughters of our time. But in the life of a Christian, make no mistake about it, your life is not about you. It's about something much greater and more beautiful than we can fathom. It's what we call the will of God, the Word of God, taking flesh in our lives. I don't know about you, but so many times have I found my own will insufficient, dissatisfying. I think I know what I want. I finally acquire it, I accomplish it, but it didn't quite deliver. Our will can be deceptive. Following the paths of the ego when we think we know what we want can be a lie. It's not easy to discover what the will of God is, but nothing is more satisfying in our lives than a will that is holier than our own, more beautiful, more eternal and transcendent. Peace does not come from following our will, but aligning it to something greater. In that great book of poetry of the Divine Comedy, Dante pretty much defined so much of our biblical imagination. We see it in works of painting and even music. Dante, the poet, starts exploring the circles of hell, and then the circles of purgatory, and lastly, the circles of paradise. It's a beautiful poem embedded with so much theology and what it means to imagine something greater, desire something greater. In his third canto of Paradise, Dante begins his exploring of the heavenly realms. What he calls the heaven of the moon is a place like all the others where he encounters souls and he dialogues, he talks with them. In this lowest circle of paradise, he bumps into a woman by the name of Picarda Donati. She was a nun who was forced to leave her convent and marry against her will. A woman of holiness and renowned virtue who was in a way forced to follow a path that wasn't her own. And so when Dante asks Picarda if she doesn't long for a higher place in heaven, considering her virtue and her love of God, she responds with a very simple phrase, as though to say, no, Dante, that's not how things work here in heaven. She says, in his will is our peace. And she goes on to explain that all souls in paradise are perfectly content, regardless of their placement in the celestial hierarchy, because their wills, their desires, are entirely united with God's will. And if God wants me in this realm, the last realm, she says, His will be done. The souls in heaven find peace and joy in aligning their desires to God's will. In His will is our peace. And that's the example that Mary traces out for us. She has such a desire to align her will with God's that she conceives it in her womb. Now, of course, we need to learn to hear God's will, because so many times I'm focused on my own will, right? This lie that I'm spoon-fed, if my life is all about me, well, I want this, I want that, I desire this, I desire that. And this lie is so pervasive that it makes us believe that if you are unhappy and your life is all about you, guess the only person who is to blame? Me. My will was not enough to discover and acquire happiness for me. And this idea places so much of the responsibility on the ego that it is unbearable. In the Christian life, like I said, your life is not about you. Not to its core, at least. It's about something more beautiful and transcendent. Aligning your will to your Father in heaven's. In His will is my peace. Not in my will, not in me finally getting it right, hacking life. In His will is my peace. You can tell me, well, Father, I don't know about you, but I don't have the capacity to listen to God's will. I'm not holy enough. I'm not instructed enough, educated enough. I haven't read scripture from cover to cover enough to understand how to listen to God's voice. Well, that's not how it works either. Our Lord says in the gospel, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." He doesn't say, "My educated sheep hear my voice," or "the ones who truly read the Bible hear my..." No. You have received the capacity to hear the voice of your Lord, the voice of your Heavenly Father, in your baptism. Part of the rite tells us that you can now call God Abba, Father. You can now listen to the voice of your Father in heaven. And at the example of your Lord, you can hear it in your life. Now, of course, we need to cultivate the womb, a space to listen to God's word, as Mary did. We need to let go of the noise, the junk of our lives. We need to learn to pray, yes, but you already have the innate capacity to hear the voice of your Father in heaven. Buried amidst all that noise, it's there. And you can conceive it in your spiritual womb, as the Blessed Mother shows us to. The word obedience, to obey God's will, comes from the Latin ob audiens, which is literally translated as to listen, audire. To obey God's will, it doesn't mean to comply, to check the box of going to Mass, of praying. We need to learn to listen with our hearts, to listen to a will that is holier than ours, to listen to a will that is beyond the ego. And that implies the silence, the space of the womb of Mary. So I ask you, what is one step that you can take to align your will to your Father in heaven's this Advent season? What's left of it? We are only a few days. What is one step that you can take to create that silence, that womb for the Word to fertilize your soul and take flesh? What is one thing that you can do to quiet down the noise, the anxiety, the suffering, the sadness, or the overwhelming joy? What can be your fiat at the example of Mary? Your "may it be done according to your word"? So we pray for the wisdom that Mary conceived in her heart. We pray for the silence to listen to a will that is holier than ours. We pray that in His will be our peace. Our Lady of Grace,